I have to comment on that one note. It does bring something to mind. Yeah, Kelsey, thank you so much. No. The reason why, I'm not trying to embarrass, that brought to mind, first thing I thought of, I have to confess, when I heard that note, there's an old song by Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66. Now, I'm dating myself if you remember that group. And the song that they played was called One Note Samba. So there was the one note. All righty. I do have some cards that I want to share, but with your permission, I'll share those at the beginning of the conference that we have. The due diligence of discipleship. This morning, let's begin with this thought. Our childhood memories have a lasting impact and influence on our lives and how we view life and how we live life. The things that we can remember and the things that we think about in our childhoods. Some of those memories are great, some of them are not so great, but they're memories that shape us. One memory that I want to share with you is very relevant to the text that we have in Luke with these two parables, the parable of the tower and the parable of the king going to war. I remember as a child the many trips that my mother and I would take to the cemetery to view and to put flowers on my father's grave. My father died when I was just 16 months old, and he was 1 month shy of being 33 years of age. And so the journeys to the cemetery were, as a child, that's how I knew my father, by going to the cemetery to take the flowers. And it became a very special event. But on the way to the cemetery, we always passed by a building. And it was a building that had never been finished, never been completed. And I would wonder, and I'd ask my mother, I said, what happened here? Did they lose money? You know, did they run out of material? What happened? And it was like that for years. Now, many years later, somebody actually kind of did something with it and finished it. But for so many years, it was a testimony to me of unfinished business, something that had maybe gone wrong or something that hadn't been planned for. And it kind of stuck with me. Sometimes our lives can end too early by our standards. And I think about Karen Walker and her children, her husband, brother, family, all the people that knew her, and she was a part of their life. Sometimes life ends way before we're ready for it. We're also reminded sometimes that we have, that the lives that we are currently living are unfinished. And they really are. They're unfinished. They're not complete until when? We meet our Lord. But they're unfinished. And along the way, I wonder sometimes how many missed opportunities we experienced. Missed opportunities to do good. Missed opportunities to share the gospel. Missed opportunities to forgive. Missed opportunities to extend grace. Missed opportunities to extend love. Missed opportunities, unresolved conflicts that have a way of never being resolved. They kind of just grate at you and grind. Lack of forgiveness. That's tough. These are real experiences that can leave us with an incomplete life and an incomplete foundation. Think about it. It's important that we live life to the fullest. This is what Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 11. Live life to the full. We want to live life for the full and not take things for granted. Oh my gracious. How many times do we take things for granted? Are we doing our due diligence when it comes to relationships? When it comes to our finances? When it comes to walking with God? When it comes to our Christian life? Too often, we can be guilty of making a series of bad choices. Know what I mean? One bad choice can lead to another, to another, to another. Now, not singling anybody out. We've all done it. We've all done it. But there's one choice that is key to our life. And it is that choice to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and what he did for us on this cross. That's something that we do want to accept. Second point. Discipleship can be costly. Following Jesus can be costly. This is a symbol of love and of what? Sacrifice and of sorrow. Too often we think that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we won't experience sorrow. You will experience sorrow. We will experience sorrow. We will experience heartache and suffering. It is part of life. But we don't experience it alone. Because here's what we know. Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. He offers us the gift of eternal life. And he offers us the opportunity to live a full life now and forever. So we want to be aware of the cost of discipleship. And we want to be aware of the cost involved with due diligence. Now, traditionally, when we think of due diligence, we think of things like what we have to do to buy or sell something. And what are the steps that are going to be involved with it? Or we may think about how do we determine the commercial potential or value, the monetary value of something. Or we may be focusing on things like balance sheets and income statements and things like that, assets and liabilities, income and expenses, and cash flow. All of those are important concepts. But let's shift it to Jesus' mindset. What happens when we don't take full account of the importance of our relationship with Christ, with God? What happens when we choose to continue to live in darkness rather than to live in the light that he offers? There are consequences. Also, when we're willing to accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we experience that transforming life, we will see the world different. We will see each other different. And hopefully we'll understand what grace, love, and mercy and forgiveness is all about. And some people will be glad to see us and receive us, and some people will not be kind, will they? We run into all of it. That's part of that cost of discipleship. So if you would, Jesus helps us with this in this parable, in the two parables that we find in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 27. So Luke 14, verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This was Jesus's cross, but he asked each one of us to do what? Carry it. every day. Some days we're glad to pick it up. Some days we want to be as far away from it as we can. Amen? Yeah, we don't like saying amen to that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. For which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man started to build and wasn't able to finish." Hence why I started with the story I did. I always wondered what happened to that building. You know, what had happened at that point? It wasn't supposed to be like that, but it was. Or what king going to war against another king will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Why? Many people could die for no good reason. The cost of life and the battles that we have. Sending one into combat is a decision that's never to be taken lightly. And the same thing, when we're sent into the world for spiritual combat, is that a life or death issue? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. In other words, Jesus comes where? First. First. Everyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. So you see, Jesus is asking for all of us. All of us. He's looking for us to be willing to forsake everything so that he can give us everything. Understand where I'm going? Forgive everything this world has to offer and accept what God has to offer for each one of us. Now, I'm reminded of a person, and I've spoken about this person before, a theologian that took a very, very bold stand during World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I want to bring him back up again. I highly recommend, if you've never read this book, please read it, The Cost of Discipleship, The Cost of Following Jesus. Bonhoeffer wrote this book in 1937. In 1933, he kind of gave up a very promising academic theological career. He could not bear what was happening in Germany as Hitler came to power. He could not bear what was happening in the Lutheran Church as well, because the Lutheran Church was split, and there was a significant part of the Lutheran Church that sided with National Socialism. So he decided to oppose it in any way that he could. He was also part and linked to one of the assassination plots against Hitler, for which one day on April 5th, 1943, in his home with his parents, the Gestapo arrived and arrested him and placed him in a concentration camp, which he stayed for the next 2 years. Now, while he was in the concentration camp, he still continued to hold to his faith. Did he get discouraged? Yes. Those four walls can be confining. Did he worry about his future? Yes. He knew what could happen. But while he was there, he made an impression among many of the persons that were in the concentration camps with him. They spoke often of his calmness and his self-control. But he knew the cost of following Jesus could ultimately be his life. He knew it and he understood it. He wrote a poem which has many parts to it. It's called Stations on the Road to Freedom. A lot of times in Christian traditions, we do the Stations of the Cross during Easter. So this was he wrote what he called the Stations to the Road to Freedom. And one of the stations along the way is death. So allow me to read you and share with you this part of that longer poem. Death, come now, solemnest feast on the road to eternal freedom. Death, and destroy those fetters that bow, those walls that imprison. This our transient life, these souls that linger in darkness, so that at last we see what is here withheld from our vision. Long did we seek you, freedom, in discipline, action, and suffering. Now that we die in the face of God Himself, we behold you. You see, the power to continue on and face anything, because who is always in front of us? God and the face of Jesus. Now, on April 9th, 1945, Bonhoeffer was executed. 2 weeks later, they would have been freed by the Allied forces. He was executed on orders directly from Himmler, who was one of the leading members of the SS, on direct orders from Adolf Hitler himself. Payback. But there's one more quote from Bonhoeffer that you want to remember. He said, "Whoever I am, thou knowest, O Lord, I am thine." Do we know that? Do we know that we are the Lord's? That we are disciples? That we are stewards? So we are called to live life God's way and not our way. So let me invite you to turn to the Old Testament now. And let's take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And we'll look at just a couple of verses. Proverbs 16, verses 2 and 3. All a person's ways seem right to them. Amen? We think what we're doing is generally the right thing until we're shown otherwise. All a person's ways are right to them, but the Lord weighs motives. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So, the first thing to do is to commit everything we do to who? God. Do not leave God out of the equation. That is the foundation upon which everything else is built. Because what we see as being good is not necessarily what God sees as being good. Are we motivated by our commitment to God, or are we deflecting? Are we doing something else? In the Sunday school lesson today, we studied about the woman who was caught in adultery. And in many ways, she was simply a pawn that the religious leaders were using to try to trap Jesus. They wanted to trap Jesus, and did they really care about this woman at all? Read the story. They didn't. But Jesus did. And her sins were forgiven. And she was given the opportunity to experience the light of the world and the light of life. May we commit to godly wisdom. May we allow God to establish our plans and our lives. You see, the song today is a very appropriate song that was sung by the choir. We are all sinners, amen? We're saved not by ourselves, but only by what? Grace. We are sinners saved by grace. Another book I'll encourage you to read, Charles Spurgeon's All of Grace. Very interesting read. It's all about faith in Jesus Christ, grace and mercy. Spurgeon talks to us about Jesus coming in the world to save sinners. Our lives are incomplete because of what? Sin. We're like that foundation that's never completed because of what? Sin. Because what does sin do? It derails. It derails us. Our pride. We tend to too often rely on ourselves instead of God. Spurgeon reminds us that Jesus addressed sin in three specific ways. Hear this. Jesus removes three things from our life regarding sin. First, he removes the penalty. Because sin leads to what? Death. We will die, but we will be with God, what? Forever. So that penalty is left. The power of sin is also removed. Death, where is thy sting? It's gone. And also the presence of sin. Now, will we continue to sin? Yes. We will. But we have grace, mercy, the power of God and the Holy Spirit to keep moving forward. You see, God's word tells us what God has done and will do for each one of us. It's not about what we've done, but it's what God has done and what God has promised to do. This is the keeping of a promise. A promise for life everlasting. Our faith in Jesus is grounded ultimately in our trust. Do we trust him? Do we trust him enough to pick up our cross and follow him daily? See, we go right back to that very first verse that introduced those parables. Are we willing to pick up that cross and follow him daily? Are we willing to give Jesus everything? Do we realize that he is the Savior of the world, the light of the world, the bread of life, the resurrection, and that he will do everything that he says he will do, and he will come again? You see, the cost of following Jesus is high. Are we doing our due diligence with respect to following Jesus? Are we willing to set the record straight by realizing that it's God first and not us? Are we willing to give that firm foundation a chance through what only Jesus Christ can offer us? The stakes are high. But the implications